So excited about our next guest here, Peter Diamandis. He is a physician, he's an engineer, he's an entrepreneur. What isn't he? He's a big thought leader and the kind of guy that you want to listen to in times like these. He's also the founder of the X Prize for space exploration, where he tried to challenge scientists and engineering types all around the world to come up with a way to get tourists into space, and that's a $10 million prize he set up. But he's also closely following the vaccine and the quest for the vaccine. I saw a tweet that he just put out in the last few days. Nothing will return us to normalcy until a vaccine is in place. And ain't that the truth? So much riding on hopes, riding on the vaccine. What's the likelihood we'll get one and when? And what do you do once you get it? These are things that Peter's been thinking about, and I know you've also assembled an advisory council to take a look at what happens next. And Peter, I'm so happy you called in. I follow your work, and a few of us here at WGN do, and just thanks for making time for us.
No, thank you, Anna. It's a pleasure to be with you. And yeah, we are, we're bombarded by news about vaccines. We hear about them. We hear that there are a multitude of them under development. The government is picking some of them early on. And the challenge is, that all vaccines are not made equal. And when I think about what is needed for a good vaccine, there are five attributes. And let me just take a second for people to understand this, because it's really important. First of all, when you inject the vaccine into you, is it safe? I think people need to know that up front. And some vaccines are using messenger RNA or DNA, or using a partially live or beat up virus. And so safety is the first attribute. The second is, does it activate your immune system? Does it actually cause your immune system to start cranking out antibodies to knock out that virus? And the challenge is that a lot of people who are older, their immune systems get weaker as you get older. And so it's hard to activate them, get them revved up to generate antibodies. And then the third thing is, are those antibodies actually going to neutralize the virus? Are they powerful in that regard? So this is what I've been tracking, and full disclosure, and I think you know this, which is one of the reasons you brought me on the show, I've been involved in a company called COVAX, COVAX, that is a spin-out of a 35-year-old vaccine company that doesn't use live virus. It uses a synthetic peptide. It's one of the companies I'm very proud of that uses chemistry, not biology. And we just announced our preclinical data. We go into humans at the end of this month, and we are seeing super high antibody titers, meaning our vaccine is generating super high levels of antibodies, and those antibodies are neutralizing. We're orders of magnitude, like 100 times higher neutralization. And one of the things that we found in using this vaccine platform is it works in older people really well. So it's safe, no live virus, no beat-up virus. One of the things I'm tracking is how do we help the public understand not all vaccines are created equally, and it's important to track the vaccine, what it can do, how safe it is, does it work in older populations, et cetera.
So I think a couple of things that I saw in so far that you've put out there. Vaccinating children sometimes requires multiple doses, even in adults. There may be a booster shot that's needed. Those are all concerns down the road. But even initially, this whole idea of just distributing a vaccine, you have 100 million doses, who gets them? I don't even understand. Who gets to decide? And then healthcare workers come to mind as people who definitely need them. But after that, it becomes a little foggier to me. First responders. But who else? What happens?
Yeah, so listen, nominally, we're going to have 8 billion people who are going to need to be vaccinated on the planet. And it's not just one injection. Majority of the vaccines we're seeing out there require a primary and then a booster, 3 or 4 weeks later, to really get your immunity level up. And so, for example, our company, COVAX, will have 100 million vaccine doses by the first quarter of 2021, and then a billion doses by the end of 2021. We're tracking that very closely. We've just stood up a vaccine advisory working group to help advise us from an ethical, a regulatory, a scientific point of view, where you should get it. We're thinking right now that the vaccine is best going to be used in outbreak areas, right, where we've seen the vaccine, where Brazil is being hit very hard right now. Then India is going to be hit hard after that. And then we're going to see parts of Africa. So, you know, it shouldn't be that just the wealthiest people on the planet get access to the vaccine. It really needs to be used early on to help stem this pandemic we have. And then eventually, as the production starts to catch up, then we'll get to a regular normalcy, just like the flu vaccine is out there.
So I've read that there are 140 in early development. There are others that have advanced in clinical trials in terms of vaccines that they're looking at right now. How many of them would you say are promising in terms of yielding some sort of result that's positive by the end of next year?
Yeah, so I'm tracking about a dozen companies out there, including our own COVAX, that I think have they're able to scale up manufacturing. I mean, the nice thing about the platform we use is we've manufactured 5 billion doses of vaccines for other viruses. So we know we can manufacture at scale. The second thing that is important for these vaccines are, again, do they actually activate your immune system sufficiently? I'm going to use a quick science term here. We use what's called a multi-tope vaccine, which means our vaccine is looking at different parts of the virus. Everybody talks about the spike that, if you would, that nose on the virus. Most of the vaccines are just going after that. We actually go after 2 or 3 different parts of the virus so that we actually, you know, you can imagine, you recognize its nose, you recognize its ear and its eye and its chin, and that's the right virus, and you knock it out. So one of the questions, of course, of these dozen virus vaccines out there, how many of them are going to actually give you long-term immunity? Because you've been hearing this, Anna, right, that a lot of people who actually get COVID-19, they get antibodies, but then their antibodies very quickly fall off. And so if you get vaccinated, how long will that vaccination last? Will it be 6 months? Will it be a year? So, you know, we're hoping that, and we'll see, no one's going to know until the human testing is done, but given the super high antibody titers that our vaccine generates, we're hoping that we'll be able to provide a multi-year protection, which is what we need. We need people to get protected. This particular virus is not going away. It's going to hang out like the flu vaccine is, and we have to get to a point where we put it under control. You know, one of the people... please go ahead, Anna.
No, you go ahead. I mean, I'm hearing you ask all these questions, these serious questions, and you're a super smart guy. Exists at a far higher level than I am at these things. I wonder, does that mean we shouldn't be as hopeful about these vaccines that are in the pipeline? Or are you just asking these questions because they need to be addressed?
They need to be addressed, and I am hopeful that we will have vaccines available probably early next year, and that we're going to see a number of them in the marketplace, and we're going to find out which of these vaccines actually, I mean, the thing you have to be asking is not only, okay, it's a vaccine, got it. Does it work in older people? Does it work in people who are 65 and older? Because some vaccines probably will not. The second thing is, will it give you long-term immunity? When I say long-term, will it give you up to a year before you get vaccinated again? And some of the data we're seeing is that these vaccines are, some of the vaccines are kind of weak. And then, is it going to give you fevers and so forth? So there's a lot of questions to ask, and we just need to be looking at all of the data. In fact, tomorrow, I'm doing a webinar with Tony Robbins, who is one of the early investors in COVAX. He's a dear friend. He's someone who I know millions of people on the world follow, and he's been very reluctant to think about using a vaccine that's derived from a live virus or modifies any part of your own DNA or RNA. And so he got involved early in COVAX because of its fully synthetic and because of the incredible preclinical data we have. So we're doing a webinar with him tomorrow, and to the extent anybody is interested in it, they just go to my website, which is diamandis.com/webinar. There's information and data there that people can definitely check out. It's going to be, we need to keep ourselves educated on the situation, and that's the most important thing.
Wait, are you surprised when you hear people say there's all kinds of studies and people, maybe even just quizzes people answer online, would you take the vaccine if it were out? And a surprising number of people say no, they won't even take it. I wonder, is that because people are concerned with the safety part of it, or people don't really want another vaccine, or what you're hearing about that? Yeah. Because don't you need a certain level in order to achieve what you want to achieve?
Yeah, I'm a medical doctor, I'm a scientist, I'm a father of two children, and, while vaccines have gotten a pretty negative reaction out there, but they have saved, hundreds of millions of people. People may not like the idea, but they do work. They work extremely well, and until we have a vaccine that is safe, is efficacious, is, supports all age groups, I think this is very possible. I think we're going to see that early next year. But unless people take it, it isn't going to help. It's critically important for us.
Can I ask you about your book real quick before I let you go here?
Yeah.
Appreciate your time, Peter. You wrote Abundance, The Future is Better Than You Think, a few years ago, about technological advances allowing the perceived 9 billion people on the planet to have access to clean water, food, energy, healthcare, education, and all the things that we all want in life. And it was a very hopeful book, and I just wondered, that was pre-pandemic. Does that change in your view now in terms of how you see the next decade, the future?
So I appreciate the question. The answer is it doesn't change it. I think that the amazing thing is we have the ability now as a society to respond to things like these pandemics, and to respond in a way that is extraordinary, the ability to stand up 100 different vaccines, to create a whole, infrastructure of masks, of ventilators, of the ability, if you think about this, if we had had this level of pandemic even 30 years ago, our ability to respond to it would have been a fraction of what we have today. We're living in a world where all of us have access, all the world's information on Google, have access to the ability to interact with each other virtually. I mean, can you imagine how isolated you would have been 30 years ago during the pandemic, where you couldn't go anyplace? There was no, you had landlines, there was no Zoom, there was no FaceTime, there was no mobile phones. I mean, while our world has changed, we have remained connected and we've remained able to make progress. I think of this particular pandemic almost as a practice pandemic. I hate to say that. It's not, it's terrible for those who have been hit, and I've had a lot of very close friends who have been. But the mortality rate, the percent of people who die from it is under 2%. That's what the best numbers show us. It's not 20% or 30%, and it could have been. And so this particular pandemic has basically woken us up to the importance of early detection, the ability to get vaccines and testing done rapidly. It's not the first and it's not the last pandemic. So society should be prepared to respond to things like this. And I think we're all learning together. And I think hopefully next time we'll be a lot better prepared. So again, anybody who wants to join in a conversation on COVAX and on vaccines and about what to be looking for in the vaccine that you end up choosing to take or the government offers to you, join me tomorrow. It's going to be at 4:00 Eastern, 1:00 Pacific time.
3 p.m. our time.
I should say 3:00 Central time. Yeah, absolutely. In Chicago. It's theamandus.com/webinar, and you can get the details of it there. But listen, we are going to get over this. We are going to come out of this stronger as a society. It's also never been a better time to be an entrepreneur, to find problems and solve problems. And I think ultimately this virus is teaching us about exponentials and exponential technology and the importance of the people that you love.
Yeah, there's some hopeful stuff in there. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Be well.
You too. Be well. Peter Diamandis, that is. He is founder of the X Prize. You can check it out, diamandis.com. It's D-I-A. It's kind of like diamond. You'll find him, Peter Diamandis, X Prize. Just Google that. And there's that Wednesday webinar tomorrow at 3 p.m. if you want to take part in all of that. He's one of those hyper bright guys who thinks through these things at a very high level. And I just love hearing from him. I'm not sure I understand absolutely everything he says, but we'll try to get that up for podcasts too, so you can re-listen to the Peter interview.